Powerful words, very powerful. And I've put them up again just at the start here, because there's a sense in which those dovetail perfectly with what I'm planning to talk about today. So I just want to read them through and make them a prayer. Quiet the voice of doubt again. Echo within me every promise. Let your word be louder than my fears. Speak to the void when I can't see. Lift up my head in every valley. Let your joy be greater than my grief. Today, as we continue the sermon series on Awe and Wonder, I'm looking at a promise from God. One that I absolutely love. And I suspect you'll have seen hints of this one in other sermons before. But it's a verse that I continually turn to. I'd actually not originally planned this verse to be even mentioned in today's sermon, but I couldn't get the song. I know a song from it that's just kept running through my head all week until finally I gave up and was like, okay, God, I think you're saying something here. So, I'm going to ask you to turn to a book of the Bible that you don't often turn to in church. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. And there's no shame if you need to look at the contents page in your Bible to work out where that is. If you're typing it in, it's spelled H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. So if you're typing it in your apps, that might help you to find it. Habakkuk, he lived at a time of real turmoil in Israel. And he was heartbroken at what he saw around him. At the time, Israel was in a horrendous state of sinfulness. And Habakkuk looked at this nation that was supposed to be close to God. It's chapter 2, verse 14, we'll be going to. He looked at this nation that was supposed to be close to God, and he was heartbroken at the sinful state of Israel. He was devastated by it. And so he came to God pleading, won't you do something about it? And then God said, yes, I'm going to judge it with a nation overrunning them. But how are they any better, God? Everywhere he looked, Habakkuk saw an utter and complete mess. The future looked bleak. The future looked hopeless. He had plenty of reason to despair. Plenty of reason. And then, in the middle of all this, he gives a prophecy, a promise from God. So, chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Now today, I'm going to explore a little bit about this verse and how it applies to the future. How it says this is what will be, and how it gives us reason to hope. But then, I'm going to circle it back and earth it in the present moment and show what a difference it can make to our lives now, here and now. The world, you see, is not so different to Habakkuk's time. It's a world of chaos and uncertainty, a world of political assassinations, a world of international conflict, a world where nations are divided over what course of action should be taken, where trade wars loom, where uncertainty is everywhere, and the world is desperate for hope. Desperate for it. Yeah. That is what all these political causes really are. Some people say Brexit will bring us hope. Some people say cancelling Brexit will bring us hope. Some people say Donald Trump will bring them hope. Some people say impeaching Donald Trump will bring them hope. The world is desperate for hope and full of siren songs that say, I will give you hope. Look to me, look to me. But here's the truth. Those hopes, they will disappoint you. They will. Remember when Barack Obama was first elected as President of the United States? What was his message? Hope and change. An end to racial conflict in America. An end to intolerance. Look, it's over. The racial conflict is done. Really? Doesn't seem to have happened, does it? He called out hope, but he couldn't deliver. And here's the truth. You can put your hope in anything you want, anything this world has to offer, any political cause, any ideology, any friendship, any relationship, anything you want, and I give you a cast iron guarantee, it won't deliver. It won't. Why? Because it wasn't designed to deliver. Never was. Society was never designed to find hope in these things. And to be honest, the pursuit of hope in these things is just an attempt to fill a gap. Because society was designed, the whole world was created to find fulfillment in only one thing. This promise. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Now that word, the earth, it literally means everything in it. In fact, it's the most general word imaginable, arete, in the original Hebrew. And it just covers everything. It covers every person, every place, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. All of creation itself. Including you, me, your neighbours, your friends, your family. Everything was created for this purpose, to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Now, I'm taking a lesson from Mark today. I actually have a practical illustration. I don't do that often, and it's actually stayed in the sermon through the continual rewrites. I'm amazed. So, we all hear the analogy that every person has a God-shaped hole. It's been preached in so many different sermons. But here's the thing. It's not true. Because here's the truth. Every person is nothing but a God-shaped hole. We were created to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. We were created, like this cup, as something empty that needs to be filled. And all the things that we try to fill ourselves with, all the dreams and ambitions, the hopes and plans, they are just an attempt to put something in it, to fill that gap that we are, with something that was never designed to satisfy. And those things can be good things that we try to fill ourselves with. But they're not what we were made to be filled with. And as a result, they will not satisfy. They will not deliver true and lasting hope. Instead, we're created to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. We were made to be filled with only one thing, Christ, God. And then to be filled to overflowing, so that the knowledge of his glory flows out of us. Yeah, I'm going to extend the illustration slightly. Ada did this once before and I can't resist. We were created to be continually filled to overflowing.
Praise God, yeah.
And to make a mess. That's what we were made to be like. We were made to continually experience that sense of being filled with God's glory, with a sense of his wonder, his majesty, and his power. Now notice the wording in this verse. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory. It, when you stop and think about it, it doesn't sound logical. Shouldn't it say, for the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord? No, because God already is glorious. We just don't know it. It's the knowledge of his glory that we need. As Andrew, he introduced a term to us, yada, intimate, experiential knowledge. That is what we were made to be filled with. He already is all glorious. The heavens already do proclaim the glory of God. We just don't know it. We were made to be filled with the knowledge, the awareness, the recognition of his glory. We were made to be knocked off our feet like John on the Isle of Patmos, bowled off our feet with the realization, this God is amazing. We were made for that, and one day the earth will be filled with that knowledge, with the recognition of the truth. Now the word for glory, I'm using lots of Hebrew here. The word for glory is kabod. It literally means the weight of God's glory. And a conscious, heavy awareness that this matters beyond anything else in life. So this verse is prophesying of a time when all other things will just pale into insignificance before the reality of God's majesty, his beauty, his splendor, his grace, his power. All things will fall into their proper place on their knees before him in worship. Stunning verse. Now, Dr. Claude Mariottini, don't try saying that name, seriously, puts it like this when he describes kabod. Since anything weighty inspires respect and honor, kabod not only denotes the obvious objective reality, but the feeling which is experienced toward what inspires respect. So that word kabod, it isn't just a statement of God is glorious. It is God is glorious and whoa, we realize it. It is that truth becomes evident to us. The experience of God's glory inspires us to wonder. So that is what this verse is speaking of, a time when God's presence is so transcendent, so powerful, so everywhere, that we all experience it, that the whole of creation is brought to the place it was supposed to be. This is our hope. For us as Christians, it's so easy to get caught up in the things that the world promises hope through, but again, they will disappoint, guarantee it. This is our hope, won for us through the cross. Amen. Because all of this will come to pass because of the victory Christ won on the cross. But here's the thing. This passage matters for us in the here and now as well. I'm going to ask you to turn to another verse, 1 Kings 8, 10 to 11. Now in this passage, Solomon is dedicating the temple to God, the first temple. And then we see God's reaction to the temple. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Again, I'm going to be controversial here. Because there's a mistranslation in that verse. And I can understand why they've gone with it, but they miss so much of the meaning. The cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled his temple. The word for temple is actually bayith. It doesn't mean temple. It means home. So here, they've translated it as temple just to make it clear that this is the building that's being filled. But what the verse is actually saying is when the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the home, the habitation of the Lord. The priests couldn't even perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his home, his habitation. Now, in the New Testament, we read that our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are now the home, the habitation in which his Spirit dwells, in which he lives. He says, I want to make my home within you. I want to fill you as I filled the temple. And just as the temple was designed and built to be a home for my Spirit, a dwelling place for me, so you are a dwelling place for my Spirit. You see, we are a foretaste of this promise that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory, because that promise is for us now. We are welcomed into a relationship with God now, and we can experience the truth of that verse now, here and now, as a demonstration to the world that there is hope, that this promise will be fulfilled. It isn't a far-off thing for us. It's a reality for now. We can come before God now and say, fill me as you filled the temple with the knowledge of your glory, with an overwhelming awareness of your value and your worth, so that I'm bowled off my feet in worship and adoration, so that everything else pales into insignificance, and I stop trying to be filled with all the things that were never designed to satisfy me. We can have that now. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Now, as well as tomorrow. So this promise that Habakkuk read, it's earth, it's grounded in the reality of our lives today. It is designed to be real to us. One day the earth, the whole of creation itself, will be filled with the knowledge of the glory as the waters cover, of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Today, we can be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's for us now. And as I've been preparing this sermon, I've just been blown away by that idea. The idea that, like that temple, the weight of God's glory can dwell within my heart. That like that temple, I can be so filled that the rest of everyday life just can't continue. The priests, they had a job to do. They were supposed to be getting on with something then. But God was there too much. And all they could do was worship. Was worship and worship and worship. Now, we're focusing a series on awe and wonder. We're saying that we want to be in a place where we are filled with awe and wonder before the truth of who God is, before the knowledge of his glory. We want this awareness to be a part of our church experience. We want it to be part of our everyday lives. Because here's the thing. When the Bible says our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, notice it doesn't say your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit when you come to church on Sunday. Mm-mm. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a vessel, a cup in which his glory can dwell. 24/7. When the printer's not working and you just want to shout at it, that was me this morning. You're still a vessel designed to be filled with God. When work is going well or when work is going hard, when the deadlines are coming in and you don't quite know how you're going to get it, you are still designed to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You were created for that end. And that embraces every aspect of your life and your identity. It isn't just for here in church. It's for when you're going for a walk down the high street. It's for when you're doing your shopping. It's for every part of your life. You were created to be filled to overflowing with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just as the waters cover the sea. So, today, my appeal to us is twofold. First, don't be fearful for the future. No. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yes, there are issues. Yes, there are problems. I'm interested in politics, so believe me, I know there are problems. But I also know that ultimately those problems will not last forever, because this verse will become true. All things will be brought into their rightful place. Second, though, let's make a resolve, just as in this song, let's make a choice in our own hearts and lives, that we are not content to live life filled with things that will never satisfy us, but instead we want to be filled with God. We want to be filled with the only thing that can satisfy, the only thing that that we were created to be satisfied by, we were made for. Let's fix our hearts on him. Let's come to him in worship and ask him, fill us with the knowledge of your glory. Let us be captivated by a glimpse of who you are and how much you're worth. Now I'm going to play a worship song, one that I love, that's just been another one that's been running through my heart so much over the last few weeks. And once I've played it, I'm then going to pray and ask the worship team to come back and lead us in worship again, maybe for one or two songs, if that's okay. But as this song plays, I challenge you to make it a prayer of your hearts. Make it a plea that you bring before God.